listening to Rumination Thursday on this June the 15th in the year of our Lord 2016. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and on Rumination Thursdays, we have our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Yourself?
I'm still here.
Oh, good. That's good. All righty. Well, we talked last night about what we wanted to discuss, and you sent me a very good article I had read in the Post-Dispatch some time ago. And so here's our goal for this June the 15th. We want to help the listener learn how to discern true from false theology when somebody's talking theologically, say in a magazine, in the newspaper, or even when you're hearing a sermon at your church. And we have a very interesting article written by Anita Antoine. She's a Roman Catholic out of South County, St. Louis, that appeared in the Post-Dispatch, and we want to talk a little bit about it. Can you give us just some background on her?
Right. Very, it appears from the article, a very devout Roman Catholic, and I think, as you and I discussed, a believer in Christ. But she kind of works on this thing called, which we know as faith. And it's name of the article is Faith is Not Exclusive to Any One Religion. And she tries to go through the article and match up that there's many types of religion, many types of faith out there, and we got to be open to them in reality.
Now, she had been trained in a parochial school, Roman Catholic.
Well, she only went through the eighth grade.
Right.
Then go on into high school.
And then when she went to high school, the public school, and she told somebody she was the eighth of nine children, the person she was talking with said, "Oh, you must be Catholic," and said it in kind of a negative way. And then when she talked about her church, somebody said, "Well, you must have statues in your church, don't you? That's idol worship." And the next thing was they were saying the Lord's Prayer, and these folks added another statement to it, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," which Roman Catholics don't say. And so that got her curious, and she began to study other religions and talk to other people, and then came to some conclusions.
Right, right. And it's the conclusions, I guess, in a sense that we really want to take a hard look at.
Yes, she does give the impression that at times when she's talking to people of Judaism, Taoism, Buddhism, that they had many interesting, sometimes volatile conversations. None of them were dull. Did I change them? Did they change me? She says, "I believe that my faith became even deeper as I explained, defended, and challenged the never-ending issues that we touched upon." But it's in then that she gets into a concept that, we've been talking about it quite a bit. Faith is not exclusive to any single religion. No one can claim that they have special insight any more than the next person. Their faith is theirs alone. It gives them succor. It gives them strength. But it doesn't make them better or smarter or higher up the heaven chain.
Yes, and you know what comes to mind? Remember when you had Dr. Alvin Schmidt?
Yes.
And he talked about faith that from a Christian's perspective,
yes,
when you look in the Bible, that faith only talks about the believer in Christ. It doesn't talk about all other religions.
For her, faith is, and you hear this among evangelicals also, it seems to be some confidence in yourself, in your belief in whatever God you have, that gives you peace and strength.
Right, yes, yes. Yeah. At the very heart is what do you think faith is, not what, not an objective faith, as we would call it, as to what God calls it.
You know, once you get into false teaching, then you will always have false teaching about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she says two things that I think are just not appropriate at all. The one is you can't divorce yourself from what came first, and she's talking about Jewish Old Testament, any more than you can separate what Christ means to each and everyone who practices their faith in the way that gives them peace.
Mm.
So they don't have to believe in Jesus. All that Jesus cares about is that they find peace in whatever religion they're following.
Yeah, and then that breaks, well, we break it down into the two religions. One is Christ does it all, you know, for us, salvation. The other one is we work our way to heaven. And this peace aspect is working our way to heaven.
That's right. And people think they are able to work their way to heaven in two ways. They either don't think they sin, or they minimize the commandments so that they can pay for their sin.
Right. That way we feel good about
yes.
what we've done. But how many feel goods do we really have to have, you know, that's going to, you know, it becomes addictive, doesn't it?
Yes. Now, the second statement she makes about Jesus that is quite contrary to the Bible is the following. When Jesus walked the earth, he spoke to everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. He never discriminated. If we are to live our faith, shouldn't we do the same? Now, what Jesus is she talking about who never discriminated?
Didn't he come to the house of Israel?
Well, he did, but he also came to the Gentiles. But what do you think Peter felt when Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan"?
Oh.
Wasn't that discrimination? What do you think the Pharisees, who were unbelievers, thought when Jesus says, "Oh, by the way, your father is not the God of Abraham, it's the devil"?
He also called them a brood of vipers.
Exactly. So this idea that God doesn't discriminate, I don't know. I mean, if he doesn't discriminate, and she gets that from the idea that he spoke to everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. Now, when you do a sermon, do you make it clear that you're only talking to the believers?
I'm talking to everybody there.
Exactly. And if you have a visitor who's an unbeliever, what a great opportunity for them to hear the true message of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. I mean, we're unable to look into their hearts and say, this one's a believer, that one isn't. We preach the good news and the law and the gospel to everyone that's in the congregation that day.
The fact that she defends her faith, she grew in the faith, and I'm assuming that as a Roman Catholic, she does believe what that church teaches, that our sins were forgiven at the cross of Jesus. I'm not going to jump to the conclusion, because she has these other errors, that she therefore is not a Christian. However, when you have such errors, doesn't it really slow down your witnessing?
Oh, of course it does. And, you know, to say everyone finds their peace, I think she hit what I would call a proverbial brick wall and wasn't able to go any further with the witness and talking with them about the real differences that go forward in our lives.
You really need to be careful when you're reading a newspaper, et cetera. We have what's called the St. Louis Post-Dispatch here. And every morning, my wife shows me the headline, the front page. I can't remember a day in the past months where there isn't a negative article about Donald Trump, no matter what. Now, therefore, when you get to the religion page, it shows this is a biased newspaper, and therefore many of the religious writers that they put in, there's only two of them I enjoy reading because they're in sync with scripture, but the other 30 of them are always in error concerning the Jesus of the Bible.
Right. I'm with you. I understand what where you're coming from. I've started to do a study from the scriptures on the heart. So in the English translation, you do a word search off of your computer Bible.
Yes.
And there's 726 times that the word heart is mentioned in the Old and New Testament.
Huh.
And what's interesting is the first one is from Genesis 6. The very intent and thoughts of his heart was evil continually.
Yes.
He was talking about the wickedness of man. I mean, and then you go to places like Psalms 51.
Create in me a clean heart.
Right. Yeah, that we were born into iniquity and how deep that sin is right in the very heart. And I think that's what you're referring to, aren't you?
Yes, I always make a point that many of the words in the Bible have different meanings depending on the context. And so when I talk about that the Christian heart has proper faith, I'm talking about that one we received in baptism, creating me a clean heart. But our minds often go against that because we think with our reason, which messes up what our heart believes. And so the goal of every sermon, every Bible study, I've said, is to get our head to catch up with our heart.
Yeah. It's really an untwisting all the time, isn't it?
What is really good news is that on Judgment Day, God isn't going to look at our head as he's going to look at our heart. And there he'll find perfect faith if you're a Christian.
You know, and there's a good instance of that we see in the Old Testament. For instance, when Samuel went to Jesse's house, right?
Yes.
And they looked for the king. And Samuel makes the point that God doesn't look at what's on the outside. God looks at what's on the inside of a person.
Well, even Samuel thinks that the oldest son is the one who's going to be king, and God has to correct him.
Right.
And instead, a shepherd would usually be the son who is the youngest because it wasn't considered a very good job, and the lowliest of the family would end up being shepherds. And that's why it's so amazing when he comes to fight Goliath, he's a shepherd. And you can understand why King Saul has problems sending him out to fight Goliath, particularly when he won't wear any of the armor.
Right. And again, it's not what they were looking on the outside, and God was looking at the inside.
Yes. Getting back to the article, the question that I think is on the minds of many people today, how different is the God of Christianity from the God of the Muslims and the God of other false religions like Hindus, Buddhists, etc.? And I've been talking quite a bit about this tremendous book, The Holy Trinity by Carl Beckwith, and he's got a section, I'll just read one of it. The faithful confess their sin to Yahweh. Now, that's the name that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, because from Yahweh alone comes forgiveness. Now, in all these other religions, they don't believe in Yahweh. And the God that they have has none of the attributes that Yahweh has. And they also believe that their salvation comes about because they cooperate or contribute to it. So they do not believe in Yahweh.
Yeah, well, see, that's the big difference. Is we call it today kind of a work righteousness, working our way to heaven.
Yes. The Bible is very clear that all salvation and righteousness only comes from Yahweh. Now, by the way, in a lot of English translations, the word Yahweh isn't used, Y-H-W-H. But a lot of times it's the word Lord. But what's special about it?
Well, the Lord is kind of a reference to Christ, is it not?
But how do they spell it?
Well, it's all in caps.
Exactly. Because when it's not in caps, there's another Hebrew word, Adonai, which means like the Lord of the manor, the Lord of the farm, etc. And sometimes God is even called that. But when it's in capitals, then we're talking about a God that only is found in the Christian faith. No other faith has this God? Now, they may say, well, our God is loving and our God is merciful. But if you take a look at their writings, for example, in the Muslim faith, there is no assurance by means of a promise from Allah that you are definitely going to be saved.
Right. And it talks about your good works. And they use what I call the bucket method.
The what method?
The bucket method.
Explain that.
Well, in some of the writings that I've read from Muslims themselves, that the bucket method is that I try to do more good works than I have bad works for the course of the year.
Oh, so it's kind of
that 51% mark.
Kind of a karma.
Yeah, of a karma type situation.
Well, particularly with Yahweh, there's no doubt you've heard of Sharia law.
Right.
And Sharia law is actually, if you don't follow it, you don't have a ghost of a chance of being saved.
No. And Sharia law gets into cutting off people's hands and feet or something, you know.
We're not for homosexuality. We think it's an abomination before Almighty God.
Right.
But
right.
Nowhere in the law that we follow from Yahweh does it mean that therefore you murder homosexuals.
No. No, those are things that we would say God's going to take care of. Our responsibility is to witness to them.
And the witness is that the true God, Yahweh, look at Exodus 3, that's where he gives his name, I am who I am, that he alone is the true God, and you cannot understand the true God if you don't believe in the Trinity.
Right, and in particular, faith in Christ his Son.
Yes. Now, I was just reading an article, I was going to save it for tomorrow, but there's a kind of a, you know, the Cardinals have various groups come, and there's a Christian group coming in, and there's a speaker. And in the paper this morning, the gay people were really angry that he's going to be speaking because he's, of course, against homosexuality. And so the Cardinals have said, well, we'll also have a day for gay people. Oh, boy. And I wonder if the pedophiles are next on their list.
And, you know, there are many Christian gay people that abstain from the gay lifestyle, you know, that I have seen over the years in many parts of our country.
Just like you and I abstain from various sins that aren't any worse than that sin from God's point of view, because it all necessitates the death of Christ. But we are enabled to abstain occasionally from that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if we do a fruit of the Holy Spirit, abstaining from our sin, the Holy Spirit gets the credit. We don't.
Right. And that brings me back to Sunday morning when we're doing our liturgy, the first part of our liturgy, we're all confessing our sins, that we are sinful and deserving of punishment, but we repent of them, we ask for forgiveness, and are given absolution.
You mean you confess that you're a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment?
Every week.
Boy, I usually turn my back to the congregation so they see I'm not saying that, because I don't want to have a bad reputation.
Well, the microphone's on when I'm speaking. I don't know about you. So.
I don't wear a mic. I hate wearing a mic. Although we had our mic gentleman come to Trinity because we're having a problem with the video system. And I talked to him about a microphone system I had at another congregation where, separate from the mic, was a kind of a button you could push that you could put on your belt and you could feel through your vestments. And by pushing it down, it turned the mic off, because I don't mind them hearing me when I'm doing a baptism, but they do not want to hear me when I'm singing.
Yeah, I've heard you sing.
Oh, thanks a lot. So what we're trying to do here is we don't discourage you from reading liberal items, but even in a religious publication like Christianity Today and others, I find false doctrine more than once, and you need to discern. And the way you discern is you take a statement and then you say, is that in agreement with the Yahweh of Scripture, namely that Jesus never discriminated, that she says? Well, I don't know what she's talking about. What Jesus is she referring to? Because he discriminates. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says. Isn't right. that a form of discrimination?
Of course it is. Yeah.
Well, see, we think discrimination is like racism. It's always a negative. No, it simply means making a distinction between those who believe in the true God and those who do not.
That's right. And, you know, that was something, too, when I was active up at Havana and taught Bible class every week. I encouraged them to bring articles or stuff that they would run across, and we would sit down and discuss it at the first part of Bible class.
No, that's a great thinking that, depending on what newspaper you get, have people bring the newspaper to point out where the false teaching is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that will get them thinking about it. I think the church is partly to blame for a lot of young people who go out into the world after they maybe even been at a parochial school and start meeting Buddhists and Taoists and these folks and having a hard time thinking that they're not saved. We need to better catechize them so that they have the witness that is possible from Holy Scripture.
And that was something you and I discussed. We wondered how much witness tools was given to her in there, because I know in confirmation, we would sit down and talk about some of the issues that were going on in their school or their friends would bring up and teach them how to respond and give a Christian witness of the hope that lies within them.
Now, see, she is absolutely correct in the first part. When Jesus walked the earth, he spoke to everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. We'll speak to everyone, believer and unbeliever alike. It's the next part that messes it up. He never discriminated. Yes, he did. He made distinctions between those who are saved, those who aren't. He made distinctions between true gods and false gods. I mean, there's so many places in the scripture where those who are unbelievers, you know, die because of their belief in a false god. So this is serious that we make it clear what the God of the Bible, the Holy Trinity, teaches. And all that you do when you do a sermon is repeat what the Trinity has revealed, because it's impossible to get that revelation out of your innate mind. We're not born that way.
Well said. Do you suppose, though, that she could have taken it to mean that he didn't discriminate, he died for everybody?
If she meant that, then she's dead on. But the other parts, you know, if you have faith, it gives them strength. It doesn't make them better or smarter or higher up the heaven chain. Yes, it does. Proper faith, you're on the heavenly ladder being carried up by Jesus. Improper unbelief, you're not on the heaven chain at all, no matter what you think your faith is.
And again, that faith is the trust in the promises that Christ has died upon the cross for me.
Yes, we hardly even know about the Father. In fact, we know about the Father because we learn about the Son. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is the most important doctrine of Holy Scripture, because apart from the Trinity, you know nothing about God.
That's what Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
And I and the Father are one.
Right.
Yes. So in Jesus, if you want to know what God is like, you look to Jesus. And when you look to Jesus, you find a gracious and merciful God who saves you not by your works, but instead by grace through faith on account of the sufferings, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ.
Yep, and therefore we are created in Christ for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Now, how are you going to fit all this in this coming Sunday, Father's Day?
I'm going to do the, I know that you guys talked about using Romans. I'm going to do Matthew.
Okay.
in the harvest field because they're getting ready to harvest wheat up here.
Already?
Well, it's turning.
No.
A couple of the fields are turning. You know, well, you have the two harvests. You do have a harvest this time of the year.
I see.
For wheat.
Yeah.
And talk to your farmers about it. They'll tell you all about it.
All righty. Well, appreciate you being on, Pastor Reimnitz. Next Thursday, God willing, we'll be back together. Until then, I'm Tom Baker, and I will be at Trinity Lutheran, definitely Orchard Farm, preaching this Sunday at 8 and 10:30. Until then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.